Hi, y'all. My name is Noah McKenzie, and I'm finishing up my junior year at North Raleigh Christian Academy. This past basketball season, we did lead them up throughout the year, and looking back, it benefited our team in so many ways. For one, it was just always a good time with constant laughter and jokes, and one of those activities that really brought us together as a team and built our chemistry. But even more importantly for the team and for me individually, the green teammate talk really took our team to the next level. Our coach really drove that lesson home for us, and it transformed us from a collection of guys into a selfless, driven, and functioning team that was building each other up. Super stoked and looking forward to how it will benefit and mold our squad next year.
You're listening to the Lead 'Em Up podcast, powered by Chick-fil-A. Thank you, everyone, for hanging with us today. I am joined by Principal Ken Byard of North Muskegon High School. I had a chance to meet Ken earlier this year and get connected to the North Muskegon community through their soccer program. A shout out to Coach Pernan, who recent state champion, the North Muskegon girls soccer team. They've been users of the Lead 'Em Up program, and we ended up kind of getting all connected. And I had a chance to visit the North Muskegon campus earlier this past summer, and had a great visit with them, and have had a chance to get to know Principal Byard over these last few months, and have been absolutely impressed with his passion, with his drive and determination to really create something really special in that community. And Ken, I want to ask you, one of the things that I noticed when I was up there with you all, and I remember walking in for the first time to your school, and you are responsible for both the high school and middle school. It's all part of the same building. You've been there for 6 years. You've been in education for 25 years. As I drove into your community, one, I couldn't help but to recognize that from the surface and from the outsider's perspective, it's a beautiful environment. It's a beautiful community. I mean, it's on the water. As I walked into the school, there's literally, I took a picture of this, Ken. There were bicycles beyond bicycles beyond bicycles. They were overflowing through the bike racks, which just communicates this message that there's a community in North Muskegon that's really, really special. So I want to ask you this. You spend a lot of time on leadership development. You find it very important. But for all intents and purposes, it appears North Muskegon has it pretty good. You all have it pretty good compared to others. Why keep going in and pouring into leadership development when you already have good kids? It appears you already have a good community, a good culture. Why keep going?
Yeah, well, first of all, thanks for having me, Adam. I appreciate it. So just to give you a little bit of about North Muskegon, we're a school of 565 kids. I'm the principal of both the middle school and high school. So that's an interesting dynamic in and of itself. But to speak directly about North Muskegon, we're sandwiched between Muskegon Lake and Bear Lake, which lead out to Lake Michigan. And if you're familiar with the west side of Michigan, Lake Michigan is obviously the pearl. So we're fortunate in that our setting is, one, beautiful. The community that we live in is extremely supportive. We have families who are committed to the school. They live here specifically for our school. I would argue that we're, you know, one of the best schools in all of West Michigan, putting us up against some pretty stiff competition. But all that being said, kids that are well off, kids that aren't well off, who have things, who don't have things, they still don't necessarily know how to lead. And we take for granted that if you have good kids, that they know how to lead. And that isn't necessarily the case. Just like with our PBIS efforts, we assume that kids know how to behave, right? And it's fair to assume some of that, but when push comes to shove, we make an effort to make sure that we're teaching kids how to behave, because we don't want to assume anything, right? And so the same goes with leadership. We assume, since they come from good homes, that they have been exposed to good leadership. And so they know what it looks like, what it sounds like, what it feels like. But that's not a fair assumption. And so to put a kid in that situation, to expect them to lead without giving them the tools isn't fair to them, and ultimately isn't going to help our culture grow. And so we have made an effort to use Lead 'Em Up to support our kids social emotionally, especially through this pandemic, but continue to focus on we need to teach kids how to lead if we want them to be leaders.
Yeah, well said. You know, we're never given leaders. We develop leaders. And there's this assumption that is, I believe, incorrectly assumed by many around the country that if I've got good kids, I'm in a good position. But good kids, to your point, doesn't equate to good communicators. It doesn't equate to good relationship developers. It doesn't equate to the ability to demonstrate discipline and maturity and the right habits and things of that nature. You absolutely have to develop that. And I love the way you just phrased that. And I wanted to kind of start there because I think a lot of times when schools lean into leadership, it's because they feel like they need to fix something. Like things are broken in their school. The culture isn't strong enough. And you begin to see this, we need something. And for you, it wasn't so much like things are broken, but rather how do we elevate? Is that accurate to say?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, North Muskegon's always been a school that has had high academic and behavior standards prior to me being here. It's just that's the reputation we have. And so when I got here 6 years ago, it wasn't about really fixing anything that was broken. It was just about being intentional, right? About empowering kids to have a voice. You know, I introduced the be seen, be heard, be loved kind of philosophy. And so that's kind of what I lean into as I try to run a building, that not only am I empowering staff, but staff are empowering kids. And so there's more buy-in to school because, I mean, school's not the greatest for some kids. And so we need to really capture those kids, right? And so giving them a voice has really been a focus on what I've been trying to do along with the staff who have totally embraced it. And that's not a comfortable spot for some educators to give kids voice because they didn't go to school that way, right? We weren't taught that way necessarily. And so it's a different sort of mission for some of them, but they've embraced it. They're empowering kids. They understand the importance of developing leadership and building that foundational level of kids leading. You know, it's their building. We're in the job because we're in the profession because of kids. And so we're understanding that their voices need to be heard.
Can you share what that means or looks like about empowering kids, giving them a voice? Like what exactly tangibly does that show up? How does that show up?
Sure. Yeah. So I make an effort. Staff makes an effort. We're always surveying kids. We're always asking opinions. My door is always open. To staff know that they can always send kids to me with concerns. And so just through the course of 6 years, it's been kind of little things, nothing, you know, coming in and sweeping changes, just kind of little things that we're going to model the right behavior. We're going to support kids when they have opinions. We're going to let kids have those opinions. And so it's just kind of that fundamental shift in how we approach educating, right? And focusing on building those relationships is the most important part. And I think naturally through that, kids they start to understand that you care, right? And then they start to care about what you know. And so we're trying every day to make sure that kids understand that we care. And I think just naturally through that, kids lean into, hey, I can be heard. It's a safe place to speak my opinion. And that's kind of been the culture that we're trying to develop. And I think we're pretty close to being there, right? We're making extra efforts to capture kids who might be in the margins. And I think a program like Lead 'Em Up helps us do that because you can't have enough tools and resources to capture kids in the margins.
Yeah. You know, you're in a unique situation, as you alluded to earlier, being in overseeing a building with both middle school and high schoolers. And I am curious your insight on the dynamic differences between the middle schooler and the high schooler. And let's just talk about from a leadership standpoint, from a character standpoint, what are some things that stand out to you as just I wouldn't say alarming, but just very alert differences between the middle schooler and the high school, and what changes, what causes the change as the kids go through that seventh, eighth grade up into the high school ranks?
Sure. Yeah. And so I have sixth graders in this building too. So our middle school, sixth, seventh, and eighth grade, and there's even a difference between sixth, seventh, and eighth graders, right? Sixth graders, seventh graders, they just tune in and they just believe anything and everything that adults tell them. Right. And so you have automatic buy-in. Right. And so that makes it easy, right? Eighth graders, you know, they start to become too cool for school a little bit, starting to feel themselves a little bit. And so maybe you have to provide some more evidence of why we're doing things, right? And high school, you know, they've kind of hit puberty. They're to that spot now in their lives and their school careers where like things get serious, right? Grade point averages matter. Test scores matter. Colleges are right around the corner. And so with them, it's getting them directly involved with the learning, hands-on, get in the trenches, let them see you doing it, but then giving it to them to own in order for them to find value in. Because they're not ones to just sit and get, right? They're too busy for that stuff. And so we try to actively engage them as much as possible and have them own whatever we're trying to implement.
Do you think high schoolers, you just touched on this, do you think high schoolers are too busy these days?
Oh, 1,000%. Yeah. I mean, you know,
what's the cost of that?
Mental wellness, right? Social media, smartphones, it's completely changed the game. You know, I used to believe that kids, you know, when you hear people say, well, the kids are the same. It's not true. Like social media, the instant information, cell phones, it's literally rewiring kids' brains. And so they're different than when you and I were in school, right? We didn't have those options. And so it's 24/7 and it's completely changed the way that kids think, the way they feel. And it's a tough fight to fight right now. It's tough to be a kid, a high school kid these days, a middle school kid these days. I do feel for them.
Why do you say that specifically?
That it's tough for kids?
Yeah.
Because it's all the time. Everything's just so intense now, right? Like, so I think about sports. I was an athlete in high school, college athlete. And I think about, for example, you know, kids are, all sports are year round. You know, you got to play baseball, you got to play travel baseball, then you got to do this in the off season in order for you to even compete, right? And there's pressure. And then there's, you know, college pressures and your score compared to this score. And all, there's just under so much pressure. And we live in an environment, North Muskegon, where academics are praised, right? And so our kids feel that pressure. And so we try to be as empathetic and understanding as possible with helping kids deal with those pressures. And then you add on to that the constant barrage of information, social media, and all the mean stuff that goes on with that, and they're being exposed to that 24 hours a day. It's tough. It's tough to be a kid.
Hey, this is Josh from Chick-fil-A and author of the Adulting 101 book series, and this is today's leadership nugget. Communicate praise in public and critique in private. When praising someone on your team, it is oftentimes best to do that in the presence of others and acknowledge specifically why you are praising the person beyond simply a good job. But when feedback needs to take place, always do that in a private setting. Communicating frustration or criticism in front of others is a quick way to alienate the person you're trying to help. Now let's jump back into the episode.
The word that you said that just keeps circling in my head here is just intense, the intensity of it. And I agree. I mean, just everything is just so much more intense. The pressure, the commitment levels that are required, the information influx is so much more intense. The social, you know, momentum that can build if you do something wrong, right? And, you know, you get made fun of it. I mean, that becomes more intense. I mean, across the board. So how does a school balance the intensity and the pressure while also creating just that vibrant, loving, joyful school environment, right? Because you still have test scores you have to hit. Okay. You still have requirements within your school that you've got to reach, but you also just can't, we can't afford for the schools to double down on that intensity to the point where there's no joy, where there's no fun, where there's overwhelmingly overwhelming pressure, because that's actually going to produce the negative, the opposite results that you're looking for. So how do you balance that, Ken?
That's a great question. And that really is something that I struggle with personally, right? So my personal philosophy, I want to make school as enjoyable as possible. The staff here, I'll put up against any staff in the country. They have their academics down cold, right? And so coming in, it was just that. How do we bring joy into school? How do we make it fun? How do we balance those things? And so I think staff here have learned to kind of deal with my spontaneity once in a while, right? That they're like, okay, we get what he's trying to do, and it's all for the right reasons. And so they've been supportive of that. I've asked for a lot of forgiveness, but they're starting to see the value in that. And it only helps that cause, if that's your mission, to try to bring joy to school, to try to make it fun. COVID only helps my cause, because the last year and a half, school hasn't been fun. We've missed out on those opportunities to have proms and homecomings and dances and all those things that that make schools so memorable and special. We haven't had those. And so I think all educators are feeling, wow, we do need to have fun in school, right? Because those kids need that. Adults need that, you know? So just being intentional, picking my spots, trying to read the room, feel the culture, listening to kids, listening to staff, all those things kind of factor in, right? Yeah.
When you're reading the room and you are taking an assessment of the culture in the building, what indicators or clues are you seeing or that are giving off to tell you that it's healthy versus unhealthy? What are some of those gauges you look for?
Yeah, so it's simple things like it's the eyes wide open approach, right? So what are kids' faces look like, right? What are the conversations like that we're having in class? What are conversations like when I'm walking by a classroom or walking through the cafeteria? Are they laughing? Are they smiling? And if they're not, I need to ask why. And our staff doing the same thing, right? Those are all the kind of formative assessment pieces when we reading the room for me. You know, we do more intentional surveying and stuff like that and kind of getting their input on a more formal basis. But just being in the trenches and kind of being part of it, right? Being in the mix, like boots in the ground sort of approach. You just can feel it, right? If you're a culture guy and you're a leadership guy, you can just feel that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's so intuitive. It's so just, yeah. I mean, it's so hard to describe, but it's so easy to recognize.
Right. Absolutely. That's a perfect, perfect answer to that. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I do want to get your input on this because I think like many, you know, although North Muskegon, I agree with you. I don't know all the other schools in Western Michigan. In fact, I think you cut yourself short when you said you think you're one of the best schools in Western Michigan. I thought you were just going to go Michigan.
Well, right? Yeah, I could probably say that.
And I don't know them all, but you know, I'd argue it'd be hard pressed to find someone better and more intentional. You know, you all would certainly be at the top. But with that said, let's be honest, you're also still figuring a lot of things out. And one of the things that I know over this last year, you all are figuring out, and I would love just to get your input and just insight on it, how to effectively and how to actually incorporate a leadership program into the school. You know, obviously you guys are utilizing the Lead 'Em Up program, but what we're learning as we go throughout is every school, every community, every district is utilizing the program in a completely different way. There's almost no single school that we have in the second year of the rollout doing it the exact same way. Share a little bit about just how you all have approached this intentional leadership development within North Muskegon and just some of your early thoughts on how you've been able to roll out, not just Lead 'Em Up, but just any program that you would happen to have.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, you're right. We aren't without our issues. All schools are, right? But the intentionality, like you said, in which we're trying to approach this, is the focus, right? And so, making kids part of the process, from you coming in and sharing what the LEADM program looks like, with you coming in and working with our staff the one day that you did it in early fall, and then just carrying on the urge and the willingness to try to build capacity, right? And so how do we build it from the ground up with kids, right? Adults have to kind of lead the way, but we want to try to lead the way from behind them, right? And so we push them forward. And that's how we grow the capacity of the kids, because we want it to be their program, right? We want them to have a voice in that. And so it does take a lot of planning. You know, we aren't without our hiccups in this whole process of implementing it. We've learned a lot in the short 6-7 months that we've been doing this. But I think at the end of the day, kids are going to at least have a feeling like it's been for the right intention, right? And I think when you come at things that might be a whole system sort of changes, intent has to be, it has to be good, right? And we're trying to do the right things for kids because it's good for kids. And so the rollout might not be the smoothest, the implementation might not be the smoothest, but kids know that our intentions are pure and we're trying to make them better people. And you can't argue that.
From your perspective and experience, like when you think about nationally, let's just say across the board, what do you envision the future of leadership development looking like in schools? I mean, does it get to a point where it's a mandatory class every year? Does it get to a point where it's an elective in class? And I know in some schools it is already, and it kind of varies, but like, where do you see leadership development, character development playing a role in the school, like 5 years, 10 years from now?
Right. So if I'm waving the magic wand and I'm the superintendent of schools in the state of Michigan, right? I'm that guy. I'm requiring some sort of leadership class as a graduation requirement. And so that's where I think it has to go, because schools are being asked to do more, right? We have to start to teach character education. We're having to help kids understand how to handle social media. We offer breakfast, lunch, and sometimes dinner in some districts. And so we're just asked to do more, and usually with less resources. So when you know, we want to try to develop those leaderships to ultimately develop better citizens, let's make it a requirement. You know, let's say that every kid has to take a leadership development class. I'd much rather that than have every kid have to take algebra 2.
Mm. Some math teachers won't be happy with that, Ken.
They don't disagree with me.
Listen, one thing I've learned during these last couple of years, Ken, is that the teachers don't want their time taken away from them with the kids. And that's part of that spontaneity that you talked about having fun. Teachers like, okay, but don't take them out of my English.
Absolutely. And that's the balance, right? And that's the balance in getting staff to buy into trying to find the joy and bringing joy into the kids' lives. And so, you know, we don't have to always ram curriculum down kids' throats. Like, let's push pause, pump the brakes, have a little fun. And so that's not always the case with all staff. You know, they're like, nope, I got to get it in. Got to teach the curriculum. This staff has been really accepting of that mission to try to bring joy to kids' lives in school.
But it wasn't that way day one.
No,
based on what you implied.
Right. So my approach was, it probably ruffled some feathers at first, but I think they saw my intent, right? Like, my heart was pure. We're trying to have happier kids so that school's more enjoyable. And when school's more enjoyable, then teachers, your jobs are more enjoyable. And so the joy just is contagious, right?
And I can't help but to just scratch my head on why teachers still struggle to make that correlation. And I'm not a teacher full time in the building, you know, so I don't fully know, but I'm with you, Ken. I mean, I would think, okay, if we stopped and paused and had more time focus on the mental, just focused on the emotional side, the joy, I have to imagine when I get them back into my English class, I'm going to get a more committed, engaged, enthusiastic, interactive student. And I don't see teachers always making that connection as clearly as we just laid it out.
Right. So I'm going to go back to kids don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. There's a lot of truth to that, right? I would tell you that that education's based on that. And pandemics and all those things that we talk about, the social media, those have all kind of put the spotlight on building relationships. And so, you know, I'm no different than a lot of the other staffs. This is my 25th year. I can't tell you that in year one of teaching that I was about feelings and I was about building relationships necessarily, because that wasn't how teaching was taught then. And that's not how we were taught then. It was, you know, come in, put the numbers on your paper, do your assignment, rule by fear. And we know now through research and anecdotally that that doesn't work, right? And so we have to change the way we're doing things. And this staff has been amazing in that building relationship focused.
So good, Ken. Ken, really appreciate your time today. Appreciate your perspective. Appreciate your passion. What you just heard for all those listening in today's podcast is, I mean, that's who Ken is. I've been able to kind of see it in the 3, 4, 5 different times that we've had a chance to interact. It's very consistent, right? That this is who you are. It is very genuine and authentic. So I just appreciate you and celebrate you for the work you're doing up there in Western Michigan and for the kids you're pouring into, the 550 plus students that you have under your supervision day in and day out. And I know some of the teachers there, and they appreciate having you as their leader, right? They've shared that, you know, to me directly. So Ken, thank you so much. Appreciate your time. And for all those listening, Ken, anything you want to add before we wrap up?
No, I just wanted to thank you for the opportunity. And once again, you know, my staff here is, the staff here is phenomenal. And I hope that wherever you're at listening, find yourself great people to be around.
And Ken, little side note, I just got a North Muskegon soccer hooded sweatshirt in the mail this week.
I saw that. We're about to make a run.
Oh, man, I am going to be repping out here on the East Coast for you all. And, oh, man, I love it. So anyways, listen, Ken, appreciate you so much. For all those listening, make sure you, if you're interested in the Lead 'Em Up Classroom program and getting more information, we are accepting applications now as we prepare for the 2022-2023 school year. You can go to our site, leademup.com. And you know, request more information, and we'll provide that to you as we approach technically year 3, but I really refer to it as year 2 of the classroom program. We're going to be looking to probably around 20 to 25 schools this upcoming year compared to the 10 to 12 that we had this year as we just continue the slow ramp rollout. So if you're interested in that, please visit the site and get more information. But on behalf of Ken and myself, as well as the entire Lead 'Em Up team, thanks so much for spending some time with us, leaning into this topic of leadership development. And I celebrate all those listening, because if you're listening to this, you have a passion for impacting young people. Otherwise, you wouldn't be tuning into this. So I just want to celebrate that passion that you have. And until next time, we're out. We want to take a moment and thank our friends over at Chick-fil-A for partnering with us on the Lead 'Em Up podcast. Chick-fil-A is mostly well known for their incredible original chicken sandwich and those amazing waffle potato fries. But what people might not understand is there is a lot more going on behind the counter. You see, every Chick-fil-A is individually owned and operated by someone who deeply cares for their community and for their team. So next time you get an urge to go buy a Chick-fil-A, remember, it is more than just a chicken sandwich. We are thankful to Chick-fil-A and thankful for you for listening. So until next time, have fun and lead 'em up.